Stranded 2, Trial by Fire, Chapter 7. "We can't stay here anymore," Vanessa said. It was just getting light out. Somehow, they'd made it through the night without losing their minds. Carter had finally stopped throwing up. He lay on one of the blankets with his arms around his knees, in that half-waking state that had become a part of normal life here. Buzz had finally found the axe, and it was still in his hands as the sun came up. Vanessa could tell he felt guilty about having used their only flare, but there had been no choice. Just the opposite, in fact. Buzz had saved them. The only real question was, what now? "Vanessa's right," Buzz said. "It's too dangerous to sleep up here. Those boars could just keep coming back." Jane waved at the buzzing cloud around her head. "The bugs aren't nearly so bad down by the beach, either," she said. "And it's not so hot during the day." The other advantage was that a shelter on the beach would let them keep an eye out for rescue planes and ships, Vanessa thought. That was huge. For once, everyone seemed to be in agreement. They had to move their camp as soon as possible. But without the cave, they'd be out in the open, in the rain, in the sun. And that brought up the obvious question. "Anyone know how to build a shelter?" Vanessa asked. "Buzz?" Her brother shrugged, which she'd come to realize didn't mean no. He was just uncomfortable being in charge of anything. "I'm not sure," he said. "But there's a lot of bamboo around. We could make a floor with that. Maybe a roof, too. If we could get a bunch of palm fronds." "Gee, where are we going to get those?" Vanessa asked. It was supposed to be a joke, but nobody seemed to be in the mood. So instead, she counted off the day's priorities. "Okay, number one. I really want to try to get down to the Lucky Star." "Me too," Carter said. "Talk about sunken treasure." "You should rest," Vanessa told him. Now it was Carter's turn to shrug. He obviously didn't like being told what to do, even when he was sick. But it wasn't as if he was going anywhere fast that morning. At least he'd had a little coconut water and kept it down. That seemed like a good sign. "Number two, new shelter," she went on. "Even a lame one could be okay for now, as long as it doesn't rain. And three, we need more coconuts, especially until we figure out where to get water." With no flashlight, no camera, and no fire for making torches, there would be no going through the caves to the falls anymore. And even if they could boil the remaining bottle and a half of water from the cavern pool, nobody was prepared to drink it. Not after the night Carter had just had. They'd have to stick to coconut water in the meantime and keep looking for another source. "Also," Vanessa said, "number four, there has to be something else we can eat around here." "There is," Carter said, "down on the bottom of the ocean, in our boat." That's not what she'd meant, but he was right about one thing. The Lucky Star was exactly where they needed to start. It took a few hot, sweaty trips to carry all of their things down to the beach, but it was worth it. As soon as Buzz stepped out of the woods, the breeze off the ocean cooled his face, and the bugs seemed to go away at the tree line. Even the air was different. Somehow the jungle smelled like dirt, and the beach seemed clean. They stacked everything they brought under a palm, where the sand gave way to the woods. The rocks of Dead Man's Shelf jutted up on one side here. It all formed a half-sunny, half-shady alcove, where they could make a bamboo lean-to against the rock wall and still keep themselves above the high tide line. "We should have done this yesterday," Buzz said. "No time like the present," Jane chirped. Buzz could tell she was glad to get out of the jungle, too. The second run-in with the boars had shaken them all pretty badly. Meanwhile, there was work to do and lots of it. Vanessa and Jane were already getting ready to dive down to the boat, while Carter took a minute to catch his breath in the shade. "We'll just be right over there," Vanessa told him. She pointed up toward the rocks. "Hopefully this won't take too long." "I'll cut some bamboo for the shelter," Carter said, "and I can look for more fallen coconuts, too." "Just rest, Carter, please," Vanessa asked. "We can do that when we get back." There was no question that Carter was too shaky to try to reach the boat. He still looked pale, but Buzz could tell he was trying not to seem too weak. For his part, Buzz was going to help the girls however he could. Diving and swimming weren't exactly his specialty, that was no secret. But given the alternative, hanging out and listening to Carter tell him what to do, Buzz knew exactly where he wanted to be. "Let's go," Vanessa said, and Buzz followed the girls up onto the rocks toward the spot where the lucky star had last been seen. When Jane first dove into the water, it felt amazing just to rinse off for the first time in days. Jungle living had left all four of them covered in layers of grime. Vanessa's and Buzz's faces were both streaked with dirt as they looked down at her from the rocks above. "You sure you don't want me to go first?" Vanessa asked. "I can do it," Jane told her. It was exciting to think about being the first one to reach the boat, and it couldn't hurt for everyone to stop seeing her as the baby of the family either. Maybe she was the youngest, but she was a good swimmer. That wasn't being conceited, it was just true. "It shouldn't be that far," Vanessa said. She pointed straight out from where they stood. "Can you see it?" Jane ducked her head under the water to look around. Sure enough, there was the lucky star a short swim away. It lay half on its side, resting at the edge of a coral reef, and just beyond that, the ocean floor dropped off, farther down than Jane could see. It was like a giant underwater stair steps. "Got it," she called back. There was no reason to use up energy treading water. So she started swimming right away. The ocean was calm this morning. It didn't take long to stroke across its glassy surface until she was floating directly above the boat. There was the white cabin roof, the pointed bow at the far end, and almost straight down, she could see the cockpit. That's where she needed to go. According to Buzz, the spare signal flares were in one of the small lockers behind the captain's wheel. Of all the things they wanted to salvage from the boat, nothing was more important than those flares, especially after the night before. If a ship or plane passed on the island now, they'd have no good way of lighting their signal fire up at Lookout Point. When Jane looked down again, the stainless steel captain's wheel glinted back a few snatches of sunlight from the surface, as if it were showing her the way. She flashed a thumbs up to Buzz and Vanessa on the shore, then flipped over in the water and started for the bottom. The salt water stung her eyes as she swam. She kept them open anyway, focusing on the lucky star. Fish darted in and out of the reef, showing flashes of electric yellow, blue, and even bright pink. The colors got only more intense as she went deeper, but so did the pressure in her head. It didn't take long to realize this was going to be harder than Jane had thought. The tightness behind her eyes quickly turned into a shooting pain. The urge to turn back was strong. Just a little farther, she thought, just a little farther. It was a thrill when she reached the boat itself and touched the edge of the cabin roof, but that was as far as she could go. She turned around and kicked toward the surface, following the trail of her own bubbles. Her head was pounding as she came up for air. The sunlight seemed to make the headache worse, but she ignored it. She could see Vanessa and Buzz over on the rocks, watching expectantly. "Anything?" Buzz yelled. Jane nodded, saving her breath. She wasn't done yet. Before they could tell her to come back, she swallowed another huge gulp of air and headed right back down. With her arms at her side this time, she found it was quicker to kick all the way, like a dolphin moving through the water. It was only when she reached the boat a second time that she remembered something. It was a trick her mother had shown her in the pool at the gym back home. Holding on to the captain's wheel with one hand, Jane pinched her nose closed and blew out. Right away, the pressure in her head eased with a pop in her ears and a tiny squeaking sound inside her head. She wished she'd thought of it sooner. Still, she couldn't stay down here forever. Her lungs were already sending up a plea for air. She had to hurry. Using the spokes of the captain's wheel, she pulled herself down toward the cockpit floor. That's where the three lockers were. The first one was already hanging open, even through the blur of the water. Jane could make out the empty white space inside. Nobody home. She moved to the second locker and fumbled quickly with the latch. As she pulled the door open, two bright orange floaties popped out in a rush. They shot right past her and disappeared toward the surface. The surprise of it forced a gasp of precious air out of Jane's lungs. The need to breathe was becoming intense. Her vision twinkled around the edges like seeing stars. No stopping now, though. No way. She knew if she turned around, she wouldn't be able to make it back down, and then someone else would have to finish what Baby Jane had started. Beside, there was just one more locker to check. The flares had to be in there. It was only when her hand landed on the third locker door that Jane realized it was already ajar. It sent a sinking feeling through her, and sure enough, when she pulled it open, the space inside was just as empty as the first locker had been. If the flares were ever here, they were long gone now. That was it. There was no more time for thinking, no time for disappointment, just a desperate need to breathe. The second she realized there was nothing left to find, Jane took off kicking for the surface as fast as she could go. Buzz tried not to look disappointed when Jane came out of the water empty-handed. "I don't think those flares are down there," she said. She lay back on the sun-warmed rocks, her chest still heaving as she tried to catch her breath. "Are you sure they were in the cockpit?" "Pretty sure," Buzz said. "But that was before the whole boat got trashed, so..." There wasn't much to say about that. The flares were probably lost by now. Jane told them how difficult it had been just getting as far as the cockpit. Reaching the cabin below decks was going to be even harder. "We have to try," Vanessa said. "I'm going to go down." She didn't wait for an answer. A second later, she dove in and started swimming away from the shore. While they waited, Buzz looked around at the bits of wreckage strewn on the rocks. If he couldn't dive, maybe he could at least gather some of it and make himself useful that way. The scrap of teakwood he'd seen before was something they could burn once they had a fire. Or it could be a shelf, or even a kind of short spear, with its jagged edge where the wood had broken off. The twisted piece of steel railing didn't look like much, but you never knew. With so little to work with here, there was no such thing as trash. He pulled the steel free, too, and put it with the wood. The only other nearby thing was a pile of shattered glass. It sat at the bottom of a small tidal pool carved into the rocks. He reached down and carefully took out one of the larger shards, turning it around in the light to see what it might become. A knife blade, maybe, if he could figure out a way to fasten it to a stick. The next shard he took out was curved like a tiny cup. Buzz scooped it back into the water and held it up. It was too small to drink out of, really, and too sharp around the edges. But then something caught his eye. A small refraction of light was coming through the glass. It showed up as a single white dot shining on the rocks. Buzz tilted the little cup, and the dot jumped. It was on his leg now. He left it there, staring at it, while the germ of an idea started to grow. Sure enough, it wasn't long before the bright white dot started to heat up on his skin. Jane, he said. "Just a second," she said, without turning around. Vanessa was just resurfacing, shaking her head no. She hadn't had any luck either. "I'm going to try again," she yelled and disappeared beneath the water. Buzz didn't move. He held the glass perfectly still, even as the heat from the little dot grew into a burning sensation on his knee. He kept it there for as long as he could stand, then moved it away, grinning like crazy. This wasn't just a piece of glass in his hand. It was a makeshift magnifier, the next best thing to a box of matches out here in the wild. Maybe it wasn't worth getting too excited about. Not yet. But it was also possible that Buzz was going to have some very, very good news to share with the others.